Hey Chris, can I ask you a favor?
What?
Okay. In the future, when we greet each other, can we only do it in the style of old television characters' catchphrases that also happen to be greetings?
That's not going to happen.
So I'm thinking specifically like, "Hey little buddy."
You want me to call you little buddy?
Well, I mean, not specifically. I mean, like you could say, "Hey little buddy," and I could say, "Hey dum dum."
Oh, gotcha. Those are the only ones that I know of.
Yeah, well, I was thinking also, hello.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
Yeah, man.
Do you know what episode this is?
Episode 16.
Hell yeah.
Hell's bells. Good night.
Ah, there we go. So how free? So
that's gonna edit itself. You're not gonna have to piecemeal that together.
no, 99% of the show is made out of whole cloth. So
True stories.
yeah, how fruitful was your pre-pro?
Pre-production. I pre-prod.
You did?
Yep.
Yeah, see, because it's usually me carrying you like a baby through this, so.
Feels nice.
Yeah. So hit me with it. What you got?
I believe it's Hesperia, California. And let me preface this by saying, this is bullshit. California woman is under arrest after authorities say she duct taped her 2-year-old son.
To something?
No. Deputies went to her house after the woman had sent a photo to her friend showing her 2-year-old son with duct tape around his hands, feet, and mouth.
Okay.
Yep.
Was she so she was arrested for this?
Yeah, she was arrested.
See, you know, this
And
is.
she was arrested on suspicion of cruelty to a child.
See, Chris, you know, this is just another example of the authorities not recognizing that, you know, babies can have fetishes too.
Yeah,
That you know, we shouldn't punish a mom for indulging her kinky ass 2-year-old. As you know, some kids like to play with blocks. This kid likes to, you know, just be bound up a little bit.
your first words were hot wax.
Oh gosh. Oh
Followed shortly by pull my pubes. I don't understand. You ain't got no pubes. Apparently, you were saying it to a guy from Brooklyn or Jersey or something. He was just there. I didn't know his name.
I'm just saying, you know, we should be a little bit more tolerant as a society because this kid, you know, how else is he going to get his jollies? It's not reading, you know.
Nope, definitely not.
Can't read.
Can't read. Bind me and gag me.
You are useless little kid.
It's so boring in here. It's so boring in this pack and play. It's get to first grade, the only letters you know are S and M.
BDSM. Let's be fair. Let's be fair here. You know, but oh gosh, I was trying to work out a joke where he uses a super ball as a gag, but
Authorities said that the little baby boy in this
yeah.
case was found in a playpen upon their arrival with bits of tape still clinging to him.
So how is that suspicion of cruelty, by the way?
I don't know. That's the only charge that could stick, I guess.
You tried to sneak it in, didn't you?
What?
Try oh, like you're gonna act like you don't know what you just did. It's the only
What?
charge that could stick in
It's
a
a
story.
sticky
It
situation.
is a sticky tack. You know what? That's just tacky. It's tacky what she did, and we are giving her way too much attention. Because you know what? There's a shiny side and there's a dull side to life. Okay? Is that a little
Yeah.
bit too technical?
Well, they're treating it like it's like the photos from Abu Ghraib.
Was she pointing and laughing?
Yeah.
Oh.
And if that's the worst that you're doing, awesome. Good on you.
Okay, let's incept this, because I want to know, why did she send the picture?
Because it was freaking hilarious.
I agree. We've gotten like 5 minutes of material out of this, but the fact still stands. You know, it's just one of those things. What is it Hunter S. Thompson said? In the world of thieves, the like stupidity is the only crime.
Holy Jesus, what are these goddamn animals?
They're taped up. Speaking of children and children in sticky situations, some kids at a school in New Orleans have decided that they're not going to take it anymore, Chris. They are revolting against the school officials. And, you know, I've got to say, I'm trying to decide if they have a point or not.
it's pretty clear most of them revolted against swim lessons.
Oh, God. I forget where I read it today. It's something about, like, it's only too soon if we start joking about it before the tragedy. I think it was on Toothpaste for Dinner. I'm not sure. But, well, these kids are rallying outside their school in protest because maybe occasionally there's a bit of a bat problem in their school.
Really?
Yeah. They're chanting outside with signs and stuff. So, yeah, chanting, no more bats. No more bats.
Out of all the things.
Said one of the students, Tatiana Nodoleski, when I walked out the class and turned the corner, I saw a white bat and it was coming toward me. It was in my face and I forgot the wall was behind me, so I ran and it forced me into the wall. I just panicked. Chris, bats are last week we talked about pigs taking over the country. Now we have the bats to worry about.
Domestic terrorists.
Domestic furry terrorists. Domestic terrorist furries, Chris.
Yep. It's just creepy to hang upside down.
Ah, man.
They'd be house pets if they didn't hang upside down.
Yeah. Chris, can we train bats to perform odd jobs for us? Various tasks?
Sure.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Can we call ourselves the Batmen?
No.
Oh. No, is that taken?
Pretty sure we'll get sued.
Oh, well. Let's add it to the tab.
Hey, guess what, man?
What?
I'm gonna see if you can guess the context of the quote that I'm gonna read here.
Okay.
All of a sudden, poof, a big ball of fire. And here's Bill screaming like in a big ball of flames.
Magic show gone wrong.
No, bum fight.
Oh my God. Elaborate, because that's awful.
Bum fight. Fort Lauderdale police said 58-year-old John Gibbons set 51-year-old William Bill Stouffer on fire early Friday morning while the two were fighting behind a Burger King.
So this wasn't a sanctioned bum fights event?
No, I'm pretty sure it was sponsored by Burger King. They are the only joint that flame broils.
It's a whopper of a good time.
Yeah. it's the only place you can get something flame broiled. So.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. The smell must have been unimaginable.
The dude that's on fire was doused with some kind of accelerant before the other man lit him on fire. So apparently there was another. It was a 2-on-1 bomb burning, and that all happened behind the BK.
Oh man,
down in the Fort Lauderdales.
Wow. So then they just went up front. They got some chicken fries with their winnings and went about their business. Is the guy alive? Did he survive that?
He's actually in hospital. He's in a hospital in Miami and in critical condition.
Is that better or worse than dying? Because I'm not really sure.
We talked about this last week.
Oh yeah,
on fire and you basically asphyxiate. But we both agreed that you know there's a lot of pain involved. So yeah. So there's a group of ninth grade algebra students who were in there doing graphs on his body.
I don't get it.
Skin grafts.
Oh God. Can I step forward and make just a brief statement about our stances here on the show? I don't know if you'll agree with me. So maybe I might just be speaking for myself. We don't endorse setting people on fire, especially homeless people.
No.
Although in the past, I have said that personal arson is my favorite crime. But
If that happens, I'm going to laugh.
You know, it's
in certain contexts,
Chris, you have to find humor in, you know, most aspects of your life, or else it just, you're going to wither up and die. I think that's what this podcast is about. Laugh, damn it, or die trying.
Dude, why are we dumbing this down?
What do you mean? Coming out and saying, I think that everything should have a thesis, Chris.
No, my street cred is lowering.
Is it? Okay, whatever. Yeah, okay. So find the nearest homeless man and set him on fire. Fuck it, we don't care.
No, I'm not going to do it.
Okay. I was going to say, I mean, if you're going to come out there and say this is a stance that I wholeheartedly endorse, you got to back it up.
So I got to do it?
You got to do it to it. You got to back up your junk into my junk and let's do this thing. Okay?
We gotta grind out the truth.
Yeah, we gotta grind out the truth, because you know what, Chris? Truth is a gem, and you don't see the gem without putting it into a rock tumbler and just, you know, letting it just pressure in time, Chris. Pressure in time.
I'm not gonna do it.
Oh, damn it, I thought I was gonna get you to do it.
Not gonna happen.
Ah, rats. So, you being a person who has a child, I assume that she goes to daycare. I don't know what she does with her business.
Preschool,
yeah. have they ever tried to give you the wrong kid? Like when you went to pick her up, like you went there expecting your baby, who I might say is a beautiful little white girl. And they tried to give you a substandard model, like one that was a little bit browner.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's an exchange here, and they're going to try it. They're going to try and do this. Well, this is something that that happened up in Cleveland. It was at a family daycare center. Grandpa goes to pick up his 3-year-old son and grandson, rather. That'd be weird. Grandpa with a 3-year-old son.
That happens.
Yeah. They gave him the wrong kid. Okay, so it took them a while. It took the daycare center a while to realize the mistake and put out the APB. But apparently the daycare center noticed before the grandpa, because the grandpa didn't say, I've got the wrong kid here. He was like halfway home before like anybody like even hipped him to the situation. Just like, here's Billy. Our son's name is Bobby. Grandpa, you're done.
He gets home, gets yelled at, and says, well, it's not my fault they gave me a yellow one.
See, I just, it's a... man.
He's Asian.
Okay. I didn't know. they don't identify the people in these news stories, because I can't make assumptions based on preconceived notions. But yeah, so the Cleveland police have decided this isn't a criminal event. People need to pay attention, because these switcheroos are happening all the time. This is a really kid-friendly podcast. We've been advocating for child issues this week.
We have. And why isn't – I want to know why this kid that I'm going to talk about next, why his mom is not in jail, which she's not in jail.
No?
Apparently I'm supposed to be heartened by this mother's behavior. Like America, like the American dream is not dead.
Okay.
Fox News is planting seeds. Dream seeds, little American dream seeds.
They're incepting that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Florida mom is forcing her son to stand on a Tampa Bay street corner and wear a sign to tell drivers about his poor school grades. Kid's name's James Holder, 15 years old. He wears a sign that reads, I did 4 questions on my FCAT and said I wasn't going to do it. GPA, 1.22. Honk if I need an education.
Bob, it's hot. It's hot out here, Bob. It's so hot.
When asked for comment, his mother says, until he straightens up his grades and gets his education on track, he's going to work that corner.
He's gonna work that corner.
She said that from the driver's seat of her 1989 purple Ford Taurus, while listening to "Fancy Don't Let Me Down" by Reba McEntire.
All of that's true.
Hey, he's going to work that corner.
He's going to work that corner. He's going to be out there walking those streets.
Walking the street, working the corner.
Oh, man.
Until he gets his shit together.
You know what? He's going to turn those tricks until he pulls the ultimate trick.
Yup.
Achieve a future through rigorous standardized testing.
True stories.
That is the ultimate trick that we must turn.
Teach the test.
Bob, it's hot. Give me a Frasca.
What the hell is that?
It's that kid. He has allergies.
Bob, it's hot.
It's hot. I want to go home.
Can I have a Frasca?
Yeah. Give the kid a Frasca. Come on. Oh man. Do you want to hear about the lamest crime spree in the entire world?
Do it.
Okay.
Hold up.
So two men in a large truck were pulled over in Somerset, Pennsylvania. The men were from, West Virginia. And
hey, I've been to Somerset.
Have you?
Yep.
Can you attest to the caliber of person there?
It's essentially only exists because it's right off the turnpike.
Mm.
It's actually the halfway point between where I live here in Mansfield, Ohio, and Philadelphia.
Okay. Yeah. So it's like it's equidistant. So that's obviously where you stop. And
they have like the biggest gas station signs ever.
Yeah. Well, do they sell beef jerky at those gas stations, Chris?
Probably.
Well, not anymore, because these guys done took it all. In a crime spree stretching from West Virginia up through Somerset, Pennsylvania, these two guys would walk in to, an establishment, a grocery store, a convenience store, a gas station, and they would take hundreds of dollars worth of beef jerky and Slim Jims. They just take them. And they were planning to resell them to finance their road trip. Chris, as human beings, our dietary needs are complex. You have to protein up. You have to carbo load. You have to get your vitamins. Okay. And beef jerky is a really efficient way to get that. These people are being discriminated against specifically because they are trying to meet unique dietary needs.
Jerky is currency where you're talking about.
Is it? Is this like them stealing gold bullion?
Or no. Didn't you see that documentary, The Wild Wonderful Whites or something of West Virginia?
No.
Oh, God. Yeah, you need to watch that. Anybody's listening, watch it.
I really kind of like this idea, though, of beef jerky as currency, because you know me. I don't like fake plastic internet money. I think that we should have functional money. And, as currency that you could eat, it keeps, It won't, jerky doesn't go bad, does it?
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Jerky's got a shelf life.
Does it? But it's, really long.
I don't think it's that long.
It's kind of like regular currency then. I mean, there's inflation.
It goes bad.
Jerky inflation, Chris. Jerky inflation.
Inflate the jerk.
I think that we should move to a dried smoked meat economy.
Dry smoked meat economy?
Mm, just so salty. Put that salty meat in my mouth.
That's how you fight inflation.
Put that salty meat in my mouth,
just
Chris.
And let's
pay for my education by putting salty meat in my mouth.
Yep, been there, done that.
Yep. Chris, can I take you to the future?
Let's go.
I'm going to take you to the future, Chris, where people can be invisible.
Okay, is another one of these things where it's like the little made a particle invisible.
Actually, no. This is an area about one-third of an inch. And it's not... it's getting there, Chris. Whereas before...
No, seriously, my cock's invisible.
Have you ever heard of a micropenis, Chris?
Yeah, I have.
Okay. First-hand experience. Sorry. Let's move on. Yeah, whereas before, these invisibility cloak kind of things, we've talked before about how weird scientific findings are repackaged as oh my gosh, it's like science fiction, and then sold to us. Yeah, this is kind of that, but it's a little bit less than it used to be. Before, these invisibility materials, you had to work with things that were 3 microns across and had to be 2-dimensional to cloak. Well, now, in China, they have developed a new material that uses calcite crystals to cloak a small area in invisibility for for a little bit. The problem is it depends on polarized light, and if the light that's hitting it is polarized incorrectly, it creates like a little distortion field. But yeah, we are that much closer to having true invisibility.
Dude, we're not close at all.
Well, we're that. Oh gosh, Chris, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying we're close. I'm saying we're that much closer.
Did we make the space between where we are now and invisibility invisible, and that's why we're close, just because we can't see the distance?
Chris, a journey of a trillion microns starts with 1/3 of an inch. Okay, I say that a lot. It's a Chinese proverb. So, you know, just get off my back about it. I like to be excited about the future. I like to be excited about tech. It's something that I want. I want a race of invisible men, Chris. You ever seen Hollow Man?
No, I haven't.
I thought it was a documentary. Kevin Bacon did wonderful work in that. He had sex with a woman, you know, just because he could, because he's invisible. Whatever.
Kevin Bacon raped a woman?
Yeah.
Because he was invisible.
Yeah, it was a great documentary.
Hmm.
Spread the word. Kevin Bacon is a rapist.
He's an invisible rapist. And he's right. And he's right behind you.
All I'm saying is watch out. No, wait, don't watch out. Listen out, because Kevin Bacon breathes very heavily.
He does.
Yeah. Kevin Bacon, I don't know about, but Kevin Bacon gonna rape you.
Huh.
Hmm. We don't endorse rape here.
Nope. Don't rape that.
Don't do that. It's bad. Bad news.
Hey, it's not very often. This is what I was looking for. It's not very often that you see somebody who is a religious extremist that recognizes when he's extreme. And I read this article the other day, and it was heartwarming to me. Again, we're going to travel over to our friend to the east, Pennsylvania. For those of you looking at a map, that's to the right.
If it's to the left, you actually are reading that map upside down.
It is, and kudos for being able to read backwards, but and upside down. Dude takes and builds a 24-foot-tall illuminated cross and puts it in his front yard.
I'm sorry, 24?
Yeah, 24.
Did he have to file for a variance on that, or?
That's like three stories to you and me, Gus.
Okay.
Because he said it was creating too much controversy. Why did you put up a three-story tall cross if you weren't looking for some controversy? He's quoted as saying, the story was getting to be about me and not my message.
He's about the word and shit, Chris.
He said, I need to go about this in a more humble way. It's just caused too much controversy.
Do you think?
But it was good news, because normally people don't, you know... People who are going to build a three-story tall illuminated cross generally are not going to take that down.
Right. I've done this. I'm here. I am crazy about God, and I'm going to, like, most of those people think, why doesn't everybody do this? Why doesn't everybody have a 24-foot neon cross?
And then I read further, and I realized that he's not a good guy.
No, what has he done?
He did not want to pay $300 a day for every day that it remained up.
Because it sucked up that much juice?
Up, that's the fine.
Okay, I see. So, yeah, I mean, money's at the heart of all of it.
Yeah.
What is it with ostentatious displays of Christianity? Any religion, for that matter. I don't know. Because, I mean... I think that this happened before we started doing the show, so we were not remiss in looking at, you know, overlooking it. But have I ever told you about Touchdown Jesus?
Yeah, it's somewhere around, right?
Yeah, it's about 30 miles north of Cincinnati here on 75.
Okay.
Basically, it was in a video that I did, but it's a statue of Jesus rising out of the water, and it's probably about like 25 feet tall, or was, rather, and it was struck by lightning sometime probably midway through last year, like in the spring or so, and thing burned because the outside of it was made entirely of like foam.
Nice.
So it was amusing because after it burned, you know, whatever, it looked kind of like the remains were just steel girders in the shape of like a Terminator.
Nice.
You know, with the arms kind of raising up. It was very unnerving.
That's what my God looks like.
I would worship a God like that, Chris. I would worship a merciless robot God.
Don't we already?
Theologians are still out, are still out on that. but yeah, the thing burned down and it was obvious, like, hey, you know, probably not a good idea to build something like that tall in an area that has lots of thunderstorms and also where it's the tallest thing around. Probably not a good idea. And so they decided, you know, we have a huge insurance policy on this. We're going to build it bigger and brighter in defiance of, well, not God. That doesn't make any sense. Good taste? I don't know. Chris, we live in a mysterious universe.
We sure do.
Things happen all the time. I mean, we really don't even have an explanation for gravity, right? I'm just saying, it's just a theory. I'm not here to talk about, you know, gravity and all that. I'm just here to say it's, you know, technically it's just a theory, a very correct theory that is observable in nature, but, you know, a theory nonetheless. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we don't know about the human mind, you know, about ghosts, about goblins, about lizard men who live on the inside of the earth and, you know, space Jews who live on the outside of it. There's just things that we don't know.
Steamboats.
How do those work and where did they go? Why did the steamboats go extinct? And what were they trying to tell us? Besides, woo! But that was so stupid. But Chris, there are rocks that are moving themselves in Death Valley.
What?
There are moving rocks in Death Valley with no explanation as to why they moved.
Hmm.
Yep. They're just out there. And
I think that I'm not angry at those rocks. I think I'm angry because I can no longer say, don't just sit there like a rock.
we need to change all these aphorisms, Chris. You know, do these gather moss? I don't know. They're not really rolling. They're just kind of scooting along. Yeah, just out on these dry lake beds, you know, all, like, there's no real rain or moisture.
And somebody's moving those rocks.
But there's no footprints around them. It's just completely undisturbed hardpan that happens to have a big path where a rock has been scraped along. No footprints, no nothing. Just like one night, they're right there. The other night, they're, you know, about 20 feet away with little path, you know, crawled in. And the thing is, like, they're offering these explanations about, like, oh, the wind is moving them and there's ice forming beneath them on the cold nights and blah, 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 blah. Chris, it's ghosts.
Because it's gotta be.
We have a robot God and we have ghost rocks.
Ghost. We have ghost rocks.
Do you want to know what's even crazier, Chris?
They're Egyptian ghosts that move rocks. We didn't know how they did it then. Don't know how they do it now.
God. Stonehenge, it's all a lie, Chris. There are forces in this world that are trying to keep us from knowing the truth. Here's the crazy thing. They have taken the trajectories of these rocks, and they've discovered that all of them are moving towards one central point.
Oh, the cone theory.
They're moving together.
They're like the penny thing in the mall.
Yeah, they're going to be moving in closer and closer and closer and, you know, spinning faster and faster as they get in. And when they meet, you know, Ragnarok.
Done, dude. The owner of a hairless kitten that died after being shipped in the cargo hold of a Delta flight says the airline is only offering to refund her airfare and $50. The hairless cat named Snickers froze after flying to Connecticut from Utah last month.
Well, I'm sorry, what was the cat's name?
Snickers.
Okay. I would have thought Mr. Bigglesworth, but whatever.
A door latch malfunctioned in 10-degree weather, and it took nearly an hour to unload her. Which I don't know why.
You know what? That's the cat's problem. Have some hair, cat. Just have some hair. It's not hard. Grow up.
Yeah, so that's the story.
Oh, well.
Bummer for that kitty.
Yeah, that's sad. Hey, do you want to hear another thing about a tragic loss of a small animal?
Let's do this.
Okay. So our neighbors to the west, which is to the left, well, they're not really our neighbors. I always get the two states confused. Police in Illinois have said that two burglars, you know, they broke into a house, took some DVDs, a video game system, you know, stuff like that. And there were no witnesses to the crime except for two tiny witnesses that the burglars saw fit to destroy. These witnesses, Chris, who they were so afraid were going to rat them out. They weren't rats. They were goldfish. You son of a bitch, goldfish. You'll never live to speak about this. Chris,
I think one guy says to the other, you can't drown him.
Actually, you can. You just take them out of the water. Chris, those goldfish are going to sing like canaries, okay? I can't make that into a joke, so I'm just going to leave that there. How many other small pets can we can we put that in there? But the even kind of like more disturbing is how they killed the goldfish, you know, as opposed to strangling them, you know, or squashing them, or they just kind of like put a bunch of hot sauce and mustard in the bowl until they died.
Talking about animals, apparently it's kind of cool now to go on what they call fantasy camp vacations.
Okay.
And I'm reading about this fantasy camp vacation. Where you invite a falcon to rest on your gloved hand. Gently fling the bird from its perch so it's encouraged to fly away and land on a post. And watch as this trained bird of prey comes back and sits on your glove again. Hey, the summary probably doesn't do justice to the elegance of a hands-on lessons offered by the British School of Falconry. The experience appropriate for hawk handlers 12 and older can be done as part of a 45-minute, $112 lesson or a more robust hour-long hawk walk costs $180, during which you'll release and catch the hawks, which the school says are trained to follow from tree to tree, returning to the gloved fist for rewards of meat.
Mm. Chris, that sounds majestic.
Yep. So you can actually go train a hawk, and you get to wear the huge glove.
Chris, tell me you've booked the flight already.
I'm all set up, but I was torn.
Chris, because if there's anything that we are about, you know, aside from, you know, laughing, you know, to stave off of our eventual deaths, but as a show, I think that all of it can be embodied by the discipline of falconry, which is the melding of man and beast, God's most elegant creation, designed specifically to kill and be majestic. I feel a certain kinship with this, and I think that that would be the purest expression of our, you know, not only our love for each other, but also our love, you know, for our audience and for our show. The hawk is the podcaster's animal, Chris.
We are that cannot be further from the truth. We are expressing our intellectual dominance over the hawk, basically doing what they spend their entire life and their entire evolutionary history doing, and that is just giving them meat for them to be the minions of our ambition.
Yeah.
So no, it's not one with nature.
Yes, it is, Chris. We are joining. We are aligning our priorities for one singular goal, which is to bond. Okay.
I guess so. I think it's junk.
Well, I just think that, you know, you've never been falconing. You've never looked into falconry as much as I have. I just need to say that once you open your eyes, you see how beautiful this act is.
I guess so. I missed the point.
Okay. What would you name your falcon?
I don't know.
Talonclaw.
What did you say?
Talonclaw.
That's what your falcon would be named?
That's what my falcon would be named. Talonclaw.
Huh. I would name mine Fetch.
Fetch? That's basically all it's doing. Well, Chris, some people, they like to, you know, experience dominance over actual birds. But there are other people, you know, namely at DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, who are trying to create synthetic avian creatures for the purposes of spying. Our friends over at DARPA, thanks to an unprecedented 30-year military buildup, have created spy drones that are that not only fly just like hummingbirds do, you know, they can go forward, back, left, right, and rotate around, but they also look exactly like hummingbirds. So when you're, you know, flying around and spying, they don't just, you know,
suck sugar water.
Yeah, they don't just suck sugar water. It's like, oh my gosh, that's a spy drone. It's more like, oh my gosh, that's a hummingbird just alighting outside our window. And
a little robotic hummingbird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You don't?
I don't know about how I feel about that.
Yeah, I just, it seems like such a, Chris, tell me, what country that we have interest in spying on has a large population of hummingbirds?
Which one?
Us.
Oh, shoot.
Chris, this is something to be concerned about, because this is the opposite of what we're about. We're about natural falconry, okay? And this is crazy robo falconry in service to the Terminator God, okay? I've changed my mind.
You have.
On the whole thing. Robot God, falconry, this is an abomination that we must destroy.
My biggest fear?
Your biggest fear, Chris?
Gonorrhea.
That is a valid concern, because so many of our fears are ungrounded, and that is one that is, you know, that's a fear that not only is attainable, but is also realistic.
The first direct transfer of human DNA to bacteria was recently discovered by researchers in an unlikely source. That source, gonorrhea.
Oh my God.
The bacterium that it causes gonorrhea has evidence of human DNA fragments. And further research shows this transfer as an evolutionary event.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Chris, that's like as distressing as dolphins growing thumbs.
A terrible, terrible gonorrhea monster. It's brewing.
It
might not be in a week, might not be in a month,
might be in 6 months and 4 days.
But streets near you, soon to have their very own gonorrhea monster.
just dripping from town to town. You know what? Some people are day trippers. This monster is a day dripper. All right?
It's terrible. Oh, God. Oh, what a mess.
So wait a minute. I guess I don't understand.
That's not good.
Are you familiar with the bridge theory, Chris? The bridge theory is that an alien species wouldn't, you know, just like come to Earth, right? That would cause them to travel twice the distance that they would actually need to. Okay.
Is that kind of like driving to Columbus to go to the Cheesecake Factory?
Yeah. They wouldn't do it.
Not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. But here's the thing.
So the aliens are not going to travel through multiple galaxies and shit eat lunch at the UN cafeteria?
To exploit. They're already doing that, but just to exploit our resources. In reality, the more realistic way for one species, for one genetic hegemony to assimilate another, is to actually seed their target planet with organisms or ideas that will cause an event to where they will the target society, the target genetic hegemony will build up and then reach out to the stars, meet halfway, and then the singularity occurs. So all of the technology, this is just theories. I mean, I'm just reading it on the message boards. All of the technological advances that have happened in the past, let's say 60, 70 years, mm-hmm. are the result of an event where ideas were passed to us, and they have caused us to build up the technology and accelerate our technological evolution to get off this planet and meet them. Okay? And I wouldn't put it past them that they sent every single STD in the world over here in order to, let's say, cull the genetic flock and develop us in a certain way. So I think that there are forces in that there are forces in action that are adaptive, that are viruses and bacteria that are monkeying with the way that we breed. And the only way that they can do that is to assimilate our DNA and better learn about this and adapt in a way that they can continue fighting against our countermeasures against this. This isn't just, you know, biological warfare like we understand it. This is biological, ideological, technological warfare on a galactic scale, and we have to stop it, Chris.
Indubitably.
How was that?
I said everything I had to say.
Okay.
Indubitably.
Okay.
I understood none of it. I agree with all of it. Fourteen conjoined dwarfs.
I think that's mentioned in the Bible, Chris. That's technically what the Demon Legion is. So,
the mother who, the Nicaraguan, or I'm sorry, Ecuadorian mother, insisted on a circus birth. Doctor dressed as a clown pulls out a chain of 14 dwarfs.
Oh my god!
From her maternal pocket. That's fine and everything. I was looking something up when you were talking.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just decided that I was going to look up the most absurd country song lyrics.
Okay. Well, you know, drop your science on me. What's up?
A gentleman named Bobby Bear in 1976 recorded a song, a country song entitled Drop Kick Me Jesus Through the Goalposts of Life. In your mind's eye, please inflect the southern twang as I read this stanza. Drop kick me Jesus through the goalposts of life, end over end, neither left nor right. Straight through the heart of them righteous uprights, drop kick me Jesus through the goalposts of life.
More.
Make me, oh make me, Lord, more than I am. Make me a piece of your master game plan. Free from the earthly tempestion below. I've got pop up. Not part of the song. Oh. I've got the will, Lord, if you've got the toe.
Chris, this man is wise beyond his years, because I think that most of us, we take a long time to accept that we need some guidance in our lives.
Do you remember when you were asking, you were saying that people need to know more about me?
Yeah.
I actually wrote a poem about me.
Okay.
For people, so that they know where I'm coming from. They know my hood.
Hey, Chris, I got a question for you.
Yeah, man.
Who is Chris?
Well, Chris is me, but I suppose it's a little bit more complicated than that. Let me just tell you a little bit about what I love. I love little baby ducks and old pickup trucks, slow moving trains and rain. I love little country streams, sleep without dreams, Sunday school in May, and hey, and I love you too. I love leaves in the wind, pictures of my friends, birds of the world, and squirrels. I love coffee in a cup, little fuzzy pups, bourbon in a glass, and grass, and I love you too. I love honest open smiles, kisses from a child, tomatoes on a vine, and onions. I love winners when they cry, and I love losers when they try. Music when it's good, and life. And I love you too.
Chris.
Yeah, man.
First thing. Yep. That was goddamn beautiful.
Yep. Unfortunately, it was written by Tommy T. Hall in 1973. And the lyrics of a song called I Love.
Chris.
Yeah.
You know, he said it best of all. And I think that for as joyous as that is, it's also kind of sad. Because we have to close the book on this. Because not only do we do this podcast to bring some laughter into the lives of people so they don't die at their own hands, but you know, we do it just to put out into the world who we are as brothers. And I think that with those, you know, two poems, you know, Jesus kicked that shit, and you know, I love.
Hey,
we have said every single thing that is possible to say about us. I don't know if we can go on. There's nothing left to say.
I got that's a little definitely a foot fetish. Come on, hey, I got the time that you got the toe.
We're done. There's nothing left to say. Goodbye, everybody. This is the last episode. Because those two poems that you just read, they were the most beautiful, succinct, flowering ways that we could express any of the essence that we had left in us. It would be foolish because anything we do after this would be repeating us. Would be repeating ourselves. We're done. Goodbye. Later.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Chris, our alien overlords are coming.
We need to get people to tell a friend, go to Facebook, do that kind of stuff. Reviews on the iTunes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, downloading. And that's all fine and dandy, but unfortunately, you're not telling others how awesome we are.
And that's important, I think.
That's a big deal.
It is a big deal. So, you know, spread the word. Our episodes are short enough for you to burn onto a CD, so put them on a CD and give them to a friend.
Yeah.
Because, Chris, the aliens are coming. Fact is, they're already here. And if we're going to build up our society to a point where we can get there to meet them halfway, we're going to have to spread the word and shit. So put us on a CD, you know, drop us off in your local library drop boxes. They'll say, hey, what's this? They'll put it in, then they'll play it over the PA systems, and then, you know. So all of those things that, Chris, you just said, I think you're right on the mark.
Hey, man.
Hey, Chris.
Those damn Ross kids have already suffered for over 20 years. 1.5 million of those damn Ross kids are dead. 2 million are disabled. And now this. We are predicting that the number of Ross kids facing hunger and deprivation will soon reach 7.5 million. Something has to give, or someone has to give. That's why I'm talking to you. Will you give? You can save the lives of those damn Ross kids and avert disaster. By clicking on to thosedamnrosskids.com, hooking up your PayPal account, and giving a donation to Doctors Without Borders.
For less than a cup of coffee a day.